and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. A Delaware jury has convicted Hunter Biden on 3 felony gun charges. The case was brought to trial by special counsel David Weiss after a failed plea deal.
Ultimately, this case was not just about addiction, a disease that haunts families across the United States, including Hunter Biden's family.
Biden could get up to 25 years, but he isn't expected to serve much prison time, if any. The House expected to vote tomorrow whether to hold Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress. Republicans on the Rules Committee are demanding he provide audio recordings that were made during the special counsel's investigation of President Biden's alleged mishandling of classified documents. The Southern Baptist Convention has expelled a Virginia church for believing women can serve as pastors. Immigration and Customs Enforcement arrested 8 people from Tajikistan with suspected ties to ISIS. This is ABC News. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo testified behind closed doors today to a congressional subcommittee investigating his administration's handling of the coronavirus pandemic.
The GOP-led panel subpoenaed Cuomo, a Democrat, in March for this deposition. Republican lawmakers are specifically focused on his administration's handling of COVID patients in nursing homes and instructions given to facilities in the early days of the pandemic. Cuomo has said he's proud of his response and that this probe is political. Arriving on Capitol Hill, he told reporters this was an opportunity
to actually get the truth and the facts out, and I welcome that opportunity.
Jay O'Brien, ABC News, Washington.
The official portrait of King Charles has been vandalized in a London gallery. Animal activists covered the king's face with a picture of Wallace from the animated series Wallace and Gromit. Gallery staff say no damage was done to the painting or the glass that covered it. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy. Today's Work Money word is diversification. That's a word that gets bandied about quite a bit when people talk about investments. And as snooty as it sounds, a simple way to think about diversification is not having all of your eggs in one basket. Diversification reduces the risk of everything going badly. For example, if one person has all their money invested in the stock of one company, and another has her money invested in an index fund that's invested in dozens or hundreds of companies, well, one of those two people is at serious risk of being wiped out by a single event, and the other has an investment that historically does better than single stock investments and is more protected from the ups and downs of the market. It's the smartest and safest way for almost all of us to invest our money. For more tips on money, head to workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin tourism had a record-breaking year in 2023, bringing in $25 billion in profit. Travel Wisconsin Communications Director Craig Trost says this is the second year in a row Wisconsin tourism recorded record-breaking numbers.
Tourism's economic impact grew in all 72 Wisconsin counties in 2023, and that was led by 45.9 million overnight visits to Wisconsin. That was up about 500,000 from 2022.
Milwaukee County alone brought in $4 billion. Wisconsin tourism continues to be one of the largest drivers of Wisconsin's economy. The Wisconsin DNR announced it will be awarding almost $600,000 in urban forestry grants to cities, counties, and nonprofit organizations. The grants will fund projects that help cities manage their trees and improve urban forestry. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers minicamp is underway.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers are holding practices this week before their summer break. GM Brian Gutekunst asked, has the team ruled out using a one-year franchise tag on quarterback Jordan Love?
Oh, I don't think we'd ever say that. You know, things can change, but that's not what we're focused on. We've got, you know, a lot of time here, and I think the thought process is to get Jordan locked up and move forward that way.
The Packers announcing family night will be Saturday, August 3rd. The team holding a practice in pads inside Lambeau Field, followed by fireworks. Tickets still just $10 per person. Baseball tonight, the Brewers and Blue Jays. For Game 2 of their three-game series, the Crew winning 3-1 last night. Milwaukee running out of pitchers. Pat Murphy telling reporters 25-year-old lefty Robert Gasser likely done for the season, along with Wade Miley, Brandon Woodruff. But that means 22-year-old right-hander Carlos Rodriguez will get his first major league start tonight for the Brewers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Maybe a storm through early evening, otherwise mostly clear and a low in the mid-50s tonight. Partly sunny for tomorrow, afternoon and evening storms possible. Some could be strong with damaging wind gusts and large hail. A high to the mid-80s. Thursday, just a slight storm chance and a high right around 80. Right now, it's 76.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Bob Lord from Patriotic Millionaires joins us at 10:33. And you're on the road with Jane and Todd in Richland Center Live. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Waba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Peach Waba.
So this bug talk is getting out of control. I'm going to read more of your text soon. All bugs are disgusting. There are bugs I forgot about that people are mentioning. So we'll get to that soon. Stuart J. Waddles is here at 8:35 to talk about Summerfest and fibs. Right now we have a few more minutes with Joel Murray, whose show, Who's Live Anyway, is touring Wisconsin. They've got, I think, a couple dates in Madison, one in Wausau, one in Eau Claire, and one right
and
here.
Appleton,
right here in northeast Wisconsin at the PAC. I don't know if they call it the PAC anymore. It's a beautiful facility. I saw Les Mis there a few years ago. A great tour, and tickets are available right now. Right, Joel?
It's a good time to buy, in fact. You know, the good seats are still available. You don't want to be in the back of the balcony.
Right.
But we appreciate the people in the back of the balcony.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with big savings, but if you can get the tickets now,
Get
the tickets now. It's a great show. Okay, so Joel, I wanted to ask you. You said you've done some directing too. You know, as a guy who's performed his whole career, pretty much, how does directing compare to performing?
It's like a mind puzzle. Especially directing sitcoms, a four camera sitcom. You've got to orchestrate four cameras that are moving around the whole scene long in front of the audience. I mean, they can see over it. But it's like a Sudoku puzzle, you know, kind of thing. You got to make sure that the camera is in the right place at the right time for each line that you're doing. And I was on a bunch of sitcoms when I first moved to Hollywood. I was on Grand. I was on Pacific Station. I was on Love and War.
Yeah.
And when I was on Love and War working for Diane English, I said, you know, I'd really like to direct sometime. And I've got a four camera split for some reason in my dressing room. And I've been, you know, hanging out with Peter Bonners, and he's been kind of mentoring me, Jerry the Dentist from Newhart.
Yeah. Love
great
him.
Great guy.
Yeah.
And she said, oh yeah, yeah, we should definitely do that. Oh, great. Well, good. Well, yeah. And then we got canceled. So I didn't. So then when I got on Dharma and Greg, after 3 weeks, I told Chuck Lorre, I said, you know, I don't have a lot to do on this show. I have a couple funny lines every week. I'd really like to direct. And he's like, you would be good at that. Yeah, you should do that. And 3 years later, I got my shot, and I did about five or six for him. And then I did, you know, six or something for when I was on Still Standing. And I've directed
Joey Gutierrez. You know, yeah. And Diane Burroughs. Yeah.
Joey. Great show. The Crossing Guard stand-up bit, one of my favorites.
He's great.
Yeah. One other bug we haven't gotten to at all, but fleas. I don't let dogs on my bed. I'm that dad. And my son the other day comes out and goes, what do you think these are? I'm like, yeah, you've got flea bites. You let the dogs in your bed. The dogs have fleas. And, so that was kind of rough to get that all cleaned up and done.
You don't let dogs in your bed. I don't let dogs in my house. The idea of an animal in the house is just, I've never warmed to that. I don't know. I know I'm on an island and I do love dogs. I am allergic. That helps. But man, no thanks.
I convince my kids I'm allergic to cats. It's not true. I just don't like cats.
You said the sitcom dad. You love that role, Joel. Is there a role you would love to play that you haven't played yet? Is there something you're like, man, I would love to be this guy?
Oh, yeah. I spoke of him earlier. George Wen actually just sent me a book written by an Evanston writer that is this retired Chicago cop who he gets in a grief group and they talk about their grief and they've lost, all these guys have lost children. They meet at like a rec center at some, you know, Park District place. And they end up, things happen and the guy ends up getting back into being a detective kind of thing. But I'd love to be a retired cop kind of guy. You know, everybody'd love to be the, like the Tige Andrews kind of guy that just yells at him, you guys are out of control. No more of this stuff. I'm taking your guns away. You know, you say that in the beginning of the episode and at the end, well, that all kind of worked out. You guys, you're all right. You know, I'd love one of those, you know, two scene guys that just make money for doing nothing one day a week. I don't know. That's been the beauty of my career is I've done drama, I've done comedy, and you know, you just never know what's going to get thrown at you. And I've always enjoyed that. And even back when, you know, I was doing plays at the Remains and I did Bleacher Bums and stuff, and I came and went from Second City a couple times. I've just, you know, I like the variety.
Yeah.
I had the same wife for 34 years, but everywhere else I like the variety.
You were in a movie called God Bless America, directed by Bobcat. I tried to get that on my PBS show to interview you guys. It didn't work out. It was a money thing. But you talked highly of that film. I still haven't seen it. That looked like a really cool role for you, though.
That was really fun. And
where can people see that?
I think you can. It was on Netflix for a long time.
Okay.
But yeah, Bobcat's an old friend, and he had never seen Mad Men like Conrad. And I sent him like the first four seasons while he's having back surgery. And somewhere through season two, he said, you know, I wrote this script. I think you'd be good as the Frank. And so I read the script. I'm like, Frank's the guy. Yeah. Okay. And nice. So I starred in a movie. And as Bobcat says about his movies, my movies make hundreds of dollars. So I starred in a movie. I was, you know, basically changing in my own van and stuff like that. It wasn't as glamorous being the movie star as I thought it might be, but it was really fun. And it's a really good movie. It still holds up 10 years later, 11 years later now, I guess. But it's dark. I mean, things happen in the first 35 seconds and it kind of weeds out some of the audience. Bob says that about all his movies. I usually do something early on. And, you know, if they want to leave, then fine. They're not going to enjoy the rest of it either.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. It's weird. Weird. Yeah. I still haven't seen it, Joel, because back when we were talking, I didn't have access to it, but now I probably do. And you just reminded me of that. But every time there's a school shooting or a shooting in America, for some reason, that movie that I haven't seen that you're in comes to mind. I don't know what it is. I'll have to see this.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty good. I was pretty proud of it when we first saw it, but unfortunately the distribution on it was really not good. It should have been like Falling Down with, you know, Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
It should have gotten out there, but they dropped the ball on the distribution. And then that's the business. You never know. You think all the stars are aligned. Oh yeah. It's that we forgot this star.
A couple more questions for you, Joel. Who are your favorite actors working today, or your favorite actor all time, and who are your favorite Chicago actors or people that came out of Chicago with those great theater backgrounds?
Oh, I'll take that backwards.
Sure.
I was always a big fan of Billy Peterson.
Yes.
William L. Peterson from
Yes.
To Live and Die in L.A. and whatnot. He was just a, you know, I did a baseball movie with him called Long Gone.
Great film.
Stud Cantrell, and he was just a studly type of guy. I think like even now he's got like a 6-year-old kid That's how studly he is. but, and, you know, I got to see, you know, good people at the Goodman back in the day. Went and saw, Aidan Quinn do Hamlet.
Oh, yeah.
At the Wisdom Bridge. That was one of the most amazing shows I ever saw. But yeah, I used to love the theater, and I live next door to Zany's, above the,
The
Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
So I used to sneak in the back door there. That was a little free theater.
Nice.
Lifetime, a huge Jimmy Stewart fan, Henry Fonda, and, guys like that, the Sheldon Leonards of the world, the character actors like that. Can't think of the guy's name, but like the guy that was the brother in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, character actors like that were just always pathetic and, oh my, you're such a jerk.
But great actors, yeah.
Yeah, great actors. They're probably not really pathetic in life. today, I don't know who I like a lot. I can't help but not like Matt Damon and everything he's in. He's just solid. I don't know.
Those are good answers. Yeah. Those are great. I have to share with you, I have a William Peterson story. I loved him in To Live and Die in L.A. When I thought I was going to go after acting hard, I studied him in that movie. He was so good. And then he was great in Manhunter. And Dennis Farina was my little league coach in Chicago. Like, these two guys I'm watching, I'm like, it was amazing. And William Peterson, I was on my way. When I was at DePaul, there was a bar called Murph's. And he used to go there. And, if we went through this martini phase, me and my friends, we were like 20. We shouldn't even have been in the bar. And William Peterson is there with the woman, Amy Morton, who I think he was dating at the time. And they're sitting at a table, and the song To Live and Die in L.A. comes on. And my buddy Dennis walks over to him carrying a martini. He's this little squirrely guy. And he looks at William Peterson. And William Peterson just looks at him and goes, yeah. And Dennis goes, you hear this song? And Peterson goes, yeah. And Dennis goes, are you the man? William Peterson goes, yeah. And Dennis just walked away. And Peterson laughed. He was really cool. I talked to him a couple days. It was like meeting my idol. He was great. That's a great answer.
No, he was super cool. It does not disappoint.
Yeah.
And coincidentally, the other night in Pocatello, Idaho, that's where he went to school. That's where he grew up, in Pocatello, Idaho.
Yeah. No kidding.
High school and university there.
I know you got to get to dinner. You don't want to keep your co-stars waiting, but you got a show recommendation for us, Joel, or a movie you can share with us quick?
Oh, she's a hitman, you keep saying.
Yeah. you can't piggyback like that.
No, what do I got? I got nothing right now. I'm reading a book for D-Day. I decided to read this Why We Fight kind of book that a friend's dad wrote, and I'm enjoying that. My wife picks the shows when I'm at home, and a lot of times I'm kind of like, this is season 6 now, isn't it? I thought we were in season 1. I'm just on the road too much to keep up.
She Netflix cheated, they call it. The show is Who's Live Anyway. Get your tickets now. You got to do
it. Who'slive.com has got the tickets.
There we go.
You don't have to have the anyway, but who'slive.com. And
it'd be a great show. Joel, thank you so much, buddy, for your time tonight.
Great to see you, Pete.
Have a great tour.
Hey, one other thing real quick.
Yeah.
What's with the NFC Central? Bears don't play the Packers till week 11.
How about
that? They don't play any of the Central Division until the final games of the year.
We'll talk about that. We got to see what we can do about that. Hey, you're in Appleton, Philly cheesesteak on me if you got time, but we'll talk before then.
All right. Well, the original Butterburger is there too.
Yes. Joel Murray. Thanks so much, Joel.
All right.
Enjoy your dinner. We'll be right back with more Nightlight.
I can see but you when you dance, dance, dance. Feel good creeping up on you. So just dance, dance, dance.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
The annual June Pride event in Milwaukee is the oldest and largest in the state.
U.S. News & World Report also includes it as one of the top 20 LGBTQ plus celebrations in the country. But the parade and several-day festival started as a one-day protest. The Milwaukee demonstration in June of 1970 was timed around the first anniversary of the brutal police raid at the Stonewall Inn in New York City. It's also the first time people showed support for gay rights in Wisconsin, sparking a social awakening that continues today. I'm Terry Barr.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
We have some positively disgusting bugs to discuss. Our question tonight, in honor of the giant spider invasion that we spoke about last night on Nightlight, what bugs freak you out the most? I am learning that there are just more gross bugs. Mosquitoes just are a nuisance, and I don't like them. But after reading all these entries tonight on the text line and on the stream, they're not even close to being the grossest bug. I'm just reading these. Conrad, Stacy Sue says, I don't even know what that means. I'll come back to that, Stacy Sue. Sherry says slugs, big fat slugs when you're mucking out a horse stall. Yuck. I would say the horse stall sounds pretty disgusting too, Sherry. But yeah, slugs is a good one. Chocolate Nazi, Stacy Sue says, mom's clothes from 70s. I still don't know what that means, but I'm still somehow with you, Stacy. I'm trying to be a team player. Amanda says, my sister Nikki Schwant has legit thrown me in the direction of a centipede in order to protect herself. I would do that too, Amanda. No offense. I like you. You're a wonderful coworker here at Civic Media, but I don't, centipedes, anything that crawls fast. I think I would rather be in a room with a mountain lion than with like 20 centipedes that I couldn't see where they were. At least I know how I'm going to die. I could legitimately have a heart attack if there were centipedes surrounding me in a room. And then Amanda's sister, I presume, Nikki Schwant says, Amanda Nimmer, rude, you weren't moving fast enough and therefore volunteered as tribute. Wow, very Shakespearean, Nikki. Well said. And then on the text line, we've got Tom from New Berlin says, box elder bugs, been a journey. I don't know what a box elder bug. Conrad, you know what that is?
Yeah, I think it might be an invasive species. I'm not totally sure, though.
Yeah. Oh, box elders are. They're trees. Yeah. But box elder bugs, I don't know what those are.
I believe that they kind of tear down those trees, actually.
No kidding.
From the inside.
Okay. That was Tom from New Berlin. That's a good one, too. Something I would not have thought about. Lynn Bauer, she says she didn't get a text back. Conrad, what do we do about this? Didn't get a text back, so I didn't think it worked. Well, I hope you got your word in, Lynn. Tom from New Berlin says you should do a thing on vermin red squirrels. What would we do, though, Tom? Squirrels are bad, too. Have you ever heard of anyone having a squirrel in their house?
No, I haven't.
My grandma's cottage, after she died, it sat there for a couple years, and people would go over there, and I think squirrels got in. Squirrel, you don't want squirrels in your house. Trust me. They're tough to get rid of. Steve from Florida, Conrad's dead, checking in, says, the noceum?
Noceums.
Noceums down in the Florida Keys can be bushel. I think he means brutal.
Dad, learn how to type.
He's got thumbs like me. Can be brutal to the ankles when there is no breeze. I thought mosquitoes were bad in Wisconsin, but the noceums take the prize as the bug that freaks me out. I get it, Steve, but I hate mosquitoes. I actually love that. I don't know if it's climate change or what, but the mosquitoes in Wisconsin, back me up on this, Conrad, but I don't think they've been as bad the last like 3 years, maybe.
I don't know. You go up in the Northwoods, you're going.
Well,
Yeah.
Yeah. But I live in northern Wisconsin, and they can be really bad in the Marinette area. There have been several years where they've been terrible.
Yeah.
And we've had people come out and spray and all that kind of stuff. But the last 3 years, we didn't even spray the last 2 years. They just weren't that bad.
Have you heard about the like mosquito like candles? You put it in the center.
Do those work?
I've never seen them work ever. You know what I would do? They're made with some like flour or something that mosquitoes don't like. Never seen them work.
Or that they love and someone's playing a joke on us. I have a friend who did like a home remedy for mosquitoes. We were all watching in our community. We were all watching the 4th of July by the water. And she came down with this home remedy for mosquitoes and sprayed it. And I swear to God, it attracted them. And if she did that on purpose, I love her even more because I think that's hilarious just to watch people swatting mosquitoes. But I just don't think anything works. I think they're kind of like cockroaches in that they can pretty much, other than a swat, I think they can make it through anything, really. I don't know. Hey, do we have time for we got Stuart J. Waddles coming up at 8:35. We're going to talk about Summerfest and fibs. And the show Perfect Strangers, which has a weird tie to Wisconsin. How long is that Willy Wonka clip? Can we sneak that in here? Gene Wilder's birthday?
Yeah, we can sneak that in.
Let's do that. Here's Gene Wilder from Willy Wonka. Gene was born in Milwaukee in 1933. This is his birthday today.
Mr. Wonka?
I am extraordinarily busy, sir.
I just wanted to ask about the chocolate. The lifetime supply of chocolate for Charlie. When does he get it?
He doesn't.
Why not?
Because he broke the rules.
What rules? We didn't see any rules, did we, Charlie?
Wrong, sir. Wrong. Under Section 37B of the contract signed by him, it states quite clearly that all offers shall become null and void if, and you can read it for yourself in this photostatic copy, I, the undersigned, shall forfeit all rights, privileges, and licenses herein and herein contained, etc., etc., fax mentis, incendium gloria caltum, etc., etc., memo bis punitor delicatum. It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You stole fizzy lifting drinks. You bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed and sterilized, so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
You're a crook. You're a cheat and a swindler. That's what you are. How can you do a thing like this? Build up a little boy's hopes and then smash all his dreams to pieces. You're an inhuman monster.
I said good day.
That's great acting. I know the film is kind of a kid. Is it a kid's film, Conrad? Would you call it a kid's film?
I don't know. I watched it, a couple months ago. It held up. I still liked it.
Nice. Have you seen the remake?
I had the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, I don't think it's as good as the Gene Wilder one.
What about the prequel?
The Wonka?
I actually really liked that.
I thought it was good.
Yeah, I liked it. The people I went to see it with loved it. I liked it. I don't know what it was that it was lacking, for me anyway, that didn't put it over the top. But it was enjoyable. I think I was tired when I went to see it, too. That doesn't help. Hey, this is a cool thing. Wisconsin, I heard this on the news, $25 billion in tourism profit last year. How crazy is that? How much of that? You think Green Bay is going to get a taste of that?
I don't know. I mean, tourism is going to be pretty heavy next year during the draft.
Where would you go? Where do you want to go in Wisconsin, Conrad?
You know, I haven't really spent a lot of time in La Crosse. I think I'd like to go there.
Okay. Lovely town. Beautiful. Different, too, because it's by the Mississippi. It's more hilly. Yeah that's a good choice. All right, so get in on the fun. What bugs gross you out the most? What insects gross you out the most? Let us know. Call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Stuart J. Waddles and I discuss Summerfest and fibs next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just another night is all that it takes to understand the difference between lovers and fakes. So baby, I talk to you in the night, in the dream of love so true. I talk to you.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. A Delaware jury's convicted Hunter Biden on three felony gun charges. The case was brought to trial by special counsel David Weiss after a failed plea deal.
Ultimately, this case was not just about addiction, a disease that haunts families across the United States, including Hunter Biden's family.
Biden could get up to 25 years, but he isn't expected to serve much prison time, if any. The House expected to vote tomorrow whether to hold Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress. Republicans on the Rules Committee are demanding he provide audio recordings that were made during the special counsel's investigation of President Biden's alleged mishandling of classified documents. The Southern Baptist Convention has expelled a Virginia church for believing women can serve as pastors. Immigration and Customs Enforcement arrested eight people from Tajikistan with suspected ties to ISIS. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Democrats say they have a shot at regaining control of the Assembly in 2024. With retirements and redistricting, almost two-thirds of Assembly seats will be up for grabs in the 2024 election cycle. 120 Democrats are running for office, which is the most since 2011. The Wisconsin Elections Commission met on Monday to finalize the ballots for the August and November primaries. Wisconsin small business owners are worried about proposed cuts to the Affordable Care Act. Krissa Ostenzo owns an optometry clinic with her husband in Ladysmith. She says the premium cap for recent adjustments put health insurance within people's reach.
We always just had to encourage our employees to get health insurance and try to pay them enough to do it. And it really wasn't until the 8% that we succeeded in that. And they started all having health insurance.
The temporary ACA premium caps are set to expire at the end of next year. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. When given the chance to ride or die this past weekend, the box office chose to ride thanks to the latest installment of Bad Boys Ride or Die. The Will Smith comeback vehicle and fourth film in the Bad Boys franchise raked in $56 million at the domestic box office and topped $105 million globally. A nice boost for theater owners who are hoping for more good fortune next weekend with the release of Inside Out 2. The animated sequel is expected to pull in $110 million globally. Kid and family-friendly films have kept the box office at least somewhat respectable this summer with the strength of Garfield and John Krasinski's If. Rounding out the top five from this past weekend were Garfield in second place, If was number three, horror film and directorial debut for Ishana Shyamalan's The Watchers opened in fourth place, and it was Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes at number five. Bad Boys' 97% approval rating with audiences should give the film and box office legs for weeks to come. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Maybe a storm through early evening, otherwise mostly clear and a low in the mid-50s tonight. Partly sunny for tomorrow, afternoon and evening storms possible. Some could be strong with damaging wind gusts and large hail. A high to the mid-80s. Thursday, just a slight storm chance and a high right around 80. Currently at 75 degrees.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win Contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores, find your station, and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, Todd Albaugh. Join us next time as we're live in Richland Center with our friend Jane Matinere on the road. Also, Phil Nee from WRCO, WRCE, and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Schwabba.
Just when you think the bug talk couldn't get any worse, Jim from Appleton says centipedes, silverfish, potato bugs, all those wonderful bugs that scatter when you go downstairs to grandma's basement. When I went to Catholic school as a young kid in Chicago, there was a nun called Sister Abel, and she used to put a net around her. She's like 104 years old, but she looked great. She used to put a net around her brown bag lunch to keep the silverfish out. I don't know what the heck. I don't know how that would do that. They're like these tiny things, but I have seen them. They're really disgusting. So Jim is up the bar. Jameson in Pennsylvania in the 814 says, this is a video, so you might not get it. What does he say? Oh, it was a video of squirrels that he shared that became his friends on my porch. Yeah, squirrels, okay. They can be lovable. They're not bugs either. That said, I would never want them in my attic eating everything they can. Well said, Jameson. I would not want that either. Okay, so last week on the show, Civic Media's own Stuart J. Waddles was here. Stuart covers Southeast Wisconsin for Civic Media. He's a great reporter and host of political roundtables, if you will. He does a phenomenal job. And we had this great talk about Ferris Bueller and a few other things, but we did not get to Summerfest or Fibs. So we had to have him back. It's a Nightlight Part 2. This is the fourth time we've done this. Right, Conrad? Fifth? Yeah?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Okay. Conrad's got a running total back there. But Stuart joins us again now on Nightlight. Hey, Stuart.
Is there a jacket for multiple visits?
What like kind of a
blazer or something?
What kind of a budget do you think I'm working with here?
I don't know. Maybe like a little button, maybe.
All right. We could probably do that. Conrad?
I'll make one for you.
Take a memo. We're on it.
Hey, happy birthday, Connie.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, Connie, I like that. You know what?
I like Connie, too. I was trying that out.
Yeah.
You liked it?
I do, because there's a Sean Penn film.
C-Rad is good, too, though.
He's not C, though, Stuart. He's K.
So it's K-Rad.
Oh, he's K-Rad.
Yeah.
I've been called Connie, like, my whole life, to be honest, because I had a principal when I was in elementary school. Her name was Connie, so they do that to make fun of me.
But you know what? It's
like
a cool nickname. There's a Sean Penn film where they call him Connie, and it escapes me. But he's kind of a badass in the movie too.
I don't mind Connie.
Don't go to sleep.
I like
on Connie. Okay. Don't tell Mino and the mayor that.
No, they got convoy.
Twist it. Stuart, how are you, buddy?
Well, thanks. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. I'm glad you could come back. I know. You know, with young kids, it's always nice to have a little break. Just come on the radio and sneak off to your man cave or
your
studio.
Down in the basement and close the doors and tell everybody to be quiet for a little bit.
That's right. What's happening in Southeast Wisconsin tonight that we should know about, if anything?
Oh, there's a lot going on. Have you heard about the MPS stuff? That's kind of a big deal in the news.
Just a little
MPS
bit.
And the budget. And well, there's some ongoing budget issues. They were supposed to submit some documents showing what they're spending and how things are going, and those weren't put in, and the state said, hey, you guys didn't put the document in, and you're not going to get this money. So there's some troubles going on with that. But then, like you were saying, Summerfest is coming up, which is a big deal for Summerfest for Milwaukee.
And you said you don't get there as much anymore. I assume because you're a dad.
I don't get
but
there as much.
Yeah.
No, but it's primarily it, but a lot of it, I mean, so growing up, I'd go there as a kid, and then my first radio job was in promotions for a rock station, which was all over Summerfest. So we were there every single day for multiple years. We'd go up there and set the tent up, and again, every day, open to close, we would have to have that thing staffed. So I was there a lot. And then not so much recently. I haven't been since they've gone to the weekend format. So that's probably been 3 or 4 years now.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like crowds necessarily. I tend to shy away from them. But when I was a comic in my 20s, I worked Summerfest every year, and it was always great. Like once I got there, I loved it, you know, because you could walk around and see the bands and the other acts and that kind of stuff. But I do remember literally sweating, like sweat pouring down my back because you're outside doing stand-up. It was not a great venue for stand-up, in my opinion.
Were you in a tent?
Yeah.
Were you back in the that little tent next to the amphitheater?
Yes. Wow, good memory. Yeah, I was just trying to think where that tent was, but yeah, it was next to the
huge amphitheater. That's where you people usually do your business, you comics.
What do you mean? Still? Is that what they still do?
You know, I'm just kidding. That's where the comics set up. That's where you'll see an Elvis impersonator in there during the day, but at nighttime they'll bring in the big comedians. And Louis Black was a big deal, so he was outside that tent, but other comics would go and play inside of there.
Yeah.
Who is David Seaback? Is that a guy that? Is he the guy that does
the keyboard or?
I think so. I remember seeing him on the lineup every year.
Yeah.
Him and REO.
What, they're back this year. REO Speedwagon will be there. You going to check that one out?
Yeah, I've got this in front of me. I'm trying to figure out how to pronounce SCA. I'm guessing SZA.
Are we still talking about the keyboard guy?
No, I'm talking about the headliners at the big amphitheater.
Oh.
It is SZA. Yep.
I'm trying to go through, see if I recognize any of these names.
Yeah, I haven't seen anybody since Huey Lewis at the big...
When did you go to see Huey Lewis?
I was like in the 80s or early 90s.
Oh, okay. Cause I probably maybe 15 years ago saw him there. He was playing at the time. It was a newer stage, but yeah, good time.
Absolutely. Here's who I would see. I would say, this year, the Gin Blossoms, I would still see them. I think their lead singer is the one who killed himself or drank himself to death. A few years ago,
lead singer
or the songwriter?
I think it was a songwriter.
Okay,
so I think the guy singing the songs is there, but that like you talked about that after that first album, it kind of fell off. And
yeah,
but what a first album though, huh?
I mean, there is not an ounce of fat on that album. It is so great. Good. Yeah, I would go just to see them perform all those songs and whatever else they wanted to do, you know. But I would see them. What is School of Rock? Do you know what that is?
You've seen the movie, right?
Yeah, I figured it was like a...
Well, there's real schools of rock. So there's kids out there that are going to schools that are learning to play. And then this is like the recital, if you will, at the end of their session. They go and get together and they play on stage. One of the years I was there, Jim Peterik was there introducing some of the school rock bands. Pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah. That's really cool. And then there's a band. If you do end up there, Stuart, this year, they've been on this show two or three times. They're called 7,000 Apart. They're a Green Bay act and a Swedish act, Conrad, would you say? They split time between here and Sweden. But they're really good. They'll be there this year on one of the smaller stages, I assume. But that's a cool gig
for them. You know, you got a day?
No, but I will find out next week because they will be here.
There are some interesting names here. Living Color is playing. Cracker.
Oh, I didn't see Living Color.
Right.
Dude, I would go see that show just to hear them sing Cult of Personality. I loved that song.
I would, again, that whole album, I'd like to hear it front to back.
Yeah, same.
What's your favorite color, baby? It's a good one. But Summerfest, what they're doing different this year is they've got that hop. I don't know if you've been downtown Milwaukee recently. So they got this streetcar running around that gets you kind of close, like across the street. And what they're doing is they're rearranging some of the streetcar lines to fully focus on Summerfest and to get people down there from other points through the downtown. So it's not so much of a congestion right in that area.
Boy, that's
so if you're heading
huge.
There, that might be something to inquire about.
Yeah, that's a great addition for the whole city. It's great.
We used to take the buses up. They had the freeway flyers running from the park and ride. So we'd just go up to Milwaukee County, hop on the bus, and then get to Summerfest that way.
Oh, nice. So when's the last time you've been there?
It's probably been like 7 or 8 years.
Okay. Wow.
And again, this is after going, I was doing every days there for a few years, but it's been, it's probably been 7 or 8 years, way too long.
When do you, are your kids at the age where they would get something out of Summerfest?
During the day, I wouldn't have them after four.
Yeah.
But even then it's really loud. I mean, even just walking by, it's loud, and I don't think I'd have them there yet.
Right.
They do got a cool playground there. I don't know if you, I'm not sure. When's the last time you were there, Pete? Get that out of
25, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, probably. Because, you know, when you're visiting, you know,
area.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, they ripped it all out, and there's like a newfangled playground in there with new equipment, and that's open year round, but it's open during Summerfest. So it is something to do. But again, it's loud for the youngins.
Yeah. From the 608, Carla, Conrad's Aunt Carla says, Eddie Money back in the 90s. I just love live music, upcoming country singers, or who just want to be heard. Yeah, Eddie Money, I bet that was a good show. Are you a Bodine fan?
I had one of my, Eddie Money? Yeah, I like Eddie Money.
No, I said
one
Bodine.
Of the best shows I've, well, the best nights, we went and saw Stone Temple Pilots in the amphitheater. Oh, again, wow. This is when they were big, late 90s. But as soon as that show was letting out, you got filtered into a stage which had Survivor there.
Wow. So
Survivor, they're doing Eye of the Tiger. They're doing the, you know, all the big Survivor. I caught High on You and, you know, all those hits.
You know,
so it was just a 1-2 bang of wow.
I loved, like, I really liked Pearl Jam. I liked Nirvana. I didn't love Nirvana, but the Stone Temple Pilots are probably my favorite band from the 90s, from that era. And here's what's so crazy. Like, I really like Scott Weiland's voice. He and his family lived kind of close to us in LA. We would see him at the mall. And when he died, Stuart, all I could think was, I saw this guy chasing his kids around the playland at the mall and pushing a stroller. Like, not at all how I remembered him from the 90s. And this guy had a heroin. Like, it just didn't resonate that this could happen to this person. Isn't that crazy?
Did you ever see him perform?
Not live, no.
He was something else. Like he's up there on my list of top front man. Cause when he's on stage, you're just taken away and you just kind of he sucks you in. And it just, like you said, I'm on board with an STP session too. Cause every single album was a little bit different. There was a progression. They weren't all the same.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that I think a lot of those bands of those eras kind of got stuck, and STP wasn't afraid to do things a little bit different.
No, they did that cool video. Like, was it Big Bang Baby, Get the Gas, something like that. It was like a different kind of funny song almost. And they were looking at each other like they were the Brady Bunch almost. I love it.
Oh, there's even, from the Tiny Songs album there, Art School Girlfriend. It's just, it's totally different than I am. I want to get near to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of those songs are so grating. But
yeah,
are you
a progression there?
Are you a Bodine's fan? They're there July 6th.
No, but I understand the cultural relevance of the Bodines. I get it. I just, it's not my thing. I'm just like a few years underneath that, that era.
Okay. Here's my Bodines. Okay. So I went to see a U2 concert in 1987. I got dragged to it, if you can believe that. 20
Ooh,
bucks a ticket.
Nice.
Yeah. I didn't feel like going out. I was in my dorm room and someone's like, 20 bucks a ticket. Come on. They're like, I think it was the Joshua Tree tour. So I go.
That's what I was going to say. Joshua Tree album, right?
Yeah. So I go and the Bodines are opening. And that was the first time I saw the Bodines. And I'm like, who are these guys? Like, they had a different sound and kind of the same thing. Their songs were all over the place and so much fun. And they became one of my favorite bands from the 90s and early 2000s, too. And still are. So
yeah, where'd you see U2? Where was that show?
Rosemont Horizon.
Nice. The Rosemont.
Yeah, I think I still have the ticket stub. And that was incredible. I can't believe I almost didn't.
Growing up where I grew up, that's one of the closest venues for the big things.
Right.
Saw Garth Brooks there back in the day. Rodeo was coming through. That was the place.
Wow. But you got Milwaukee, they didn't come to like the Mecca or anything? I guess that's a little
smaller.
They
did. It was just sometimes easier. I mean, almost equidistant from where I am, hopping on the interstate to Rosemont than coming up and dealing with either the Mecca or the Bradley Center.
Right.
And again, some of those things didn't come through, that they would only be a Rosemont exclusive kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Hey, so we're going to talk Fibs next. Cool?
Oh, yeah.
I know you have opinions, and I want to hear them. Stuart J. Waddles.
I did, in the interest of the show, I did some research.
Oh, fantastic. All right, Stuart J. Waddles is here. He covers Southeast Wisconsin for Civic Media. He's a great reporter, a good friend, and a very knowledgeable guy. And we're going to hear what he has to say about Fibs next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Let my eyes caress you until I meet the doll, Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts, assuming that there are some out there, but probably alone, solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a pastime intimate friend. She said, but you're probably going to say I look lovely, but you're probably...
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Consider yourself a snowbird with property in the south, or just like to vacation there. You'll want to keep an eye on what's predicted to be an active hurricane season from now through the end of November. Forecasters say that there's an 85% chance of above the normal number of hurricanes, especially in the Atlantic Basin. Here's what it could look like. 17 to 25 storms, 8 to 13 of them becoming hurricanes, and 4 to 7 of those could be major. If you're wondering why, temperatures in the Atlantic Ocean are near record warmth, and La Niña conditions are developing, and both of these support the formation of tropical storms. No matter where you go, it's information to keep you and your family weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Greg from Waukesha, out in the 262, says, I am loving this. Thank you, Civic Media, for broadcasting. No, this is, I almost read a text that was not intended for my show. What do you do? Stuart, what would you do for that? Would you bail? Or would you?
No, I'd go with it. I'd explain what's going on, because I'm not being heard in any of my home markets tonight. Got the Brewers on RJN. You got a concert going on in UK. But how you doing, rest of the state?
There we go. He might have been talking about it. Conrad, did Busted Pencils do a remote tonight?
No, UK is doing a show. They're broadcasting live from a Tribute Tuesday, Eric Clapton cover band, live on AUK tonight.
Really?
Yeah, it's a downtown concert series they do in the downtown.
Very nice. So, all right.
They didn't let you know you were preempted?
No.
That's all right.
I you know what? It's been such a weird 2 days, though. I didn't even look at the liners, so that's my bad on that. I don't know if I assume it
like
was in
the
there.
Show is going to be any different, Pete. It's still going to be the 110% effort, right?
What am I supposed to do? Conrad, do you read the liners?
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Religiously or just like casually? Like, is that your morning coffee?
This might have been a test thing.
That's my morning coffee.
Not pointy fingers here, Pete.
It's a total
might have been a test thing. You never know.
I just like to keep Conrad on his toes. He's a very active guy, and he's on it. But if I can pass blame, I'm not beneath that. Okay, so fibs. Let's talk, Stuart. Here we touched on this last week. I think, like, cheesehead, I get, you know, and I'm a half fib, half cheesehead. I've spent a lot of years in both places. When I'm there, they call me a cheesehead, and when I'm here, I'm a fib. It's a very conflicting existence I have. But I will say cheesehead is a better nickname than fib. Fib is not clever. I just think we can do better. Your thoughts?
It's quite an escalation, isn't it?
Yeah.
He called a cheesehead to a, I'm going to call you an effing, right. You know, whoa, slow down there, buddy. I just called you a cheesehead. What? Easy.
Yes, it is a total escalation. That is a great way to put it. And like, we may have talked about this briefly last week too. Sometimes people put another F word in front of it.
Yeah.
So it's F-F-I-B.
Yeah, well, when you're driving, yeah, you got all those words all ready to go, and it just kind of flows together.
Oh, that's
like
funny.
Saying automated teller machine or ATM machine.
So what do we do about that? Where do we, you know?
I don't know. I went in and I did some research. It's and I came up with nothing, Pete. There's an unknown origin on this thing. There's nobody that really knows, and they even asked John Gerda. He didn't know where this thing came from.
Okay.
So again, it's been going on at least from the 70s, from what I've gathered from reports of people hearing it, what they remember. I was also interesting. It was interesting to find out that people in Minnesota use it for Iowans. So I guess there's some dual usage there.
Well, yeah. That's even a worse escalation, because people from Illinois, and I admit this, it's my native state, I guess, can be, you know, D-baggy when they come through here.
Yeah, boorish, unappreciative, rude.
Right, and mostly you think
they don't need to go on.
but you think they're looking down on us if they see a Wisconsin plate. I get that. But to go from Cheesehead, you're right, and to go a fib for Iowa is a is an even worse escalation because Iowa drivers, yeah, well, come on, how bad can they be?
I've never seen them on I-94 between the state line and Milwaukee. I have, however, seen Illinois drivers, and it's they get surprised that they I was only doing like 30 over there. Why'd you pull me over?
Right,
because well, you're doing 30 over. That's my license plate, huh? No, sir. You're doing 30 over. So I kind of understand it, but it's becoming a melting pot. I mean, I've been familiar with this term since I was young, and people have been moving in from Illinois en masse into Kenosha and Racine County. So it's kind of, we're all merging together. And to be honest with you, the actual culture, we're all the same. There's still there's a working class attitude that likes sports, that likes their family. It's a very similar culture. So I think there's some jealousy, big brotherism going on.
And to be honest, they're really no different. Conrad and I have talked about this. Northeast Wisconsin has horrible drivers now. But if they had an Illinois plate, I would go, oh, yeah, okay. But you're right. It's like skin color. It's license plates or it's a religious, you know, affiliation. It's just a generalization, I think is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And I haven't heard it, but in my research, have you ever heard of a fib tab?
No.
So you got the normal fib, but you add on towing a boat. Hey, there goes a fib tab driving by there.
I think we could do better with if we hone in on driving. Because I've heard people, I've asked people for suggestions. I go, come on, something clever about people from Illinois, not just, you know, FIB,
well,
whatever. And they say
point out the other aspect of this.
Yeah.
I think the other aspect of this is the property or landowners, or they're just coming up. They're just coming up here on the weekend. We're right here all the time. And I think there's a little bit of that going on. But go ahead.
That could be. No, but we get money from that. That's not a bad thing, right? I mean, and they love our state. I know tons of people who have relocated here because they wanted their weekend to last forever. But the nicknames I get from people toward Illinois people are like Pennyheads, Abe's, Abraham Lincoln. It's like, okay, we need something they don't have a cheese like we do or something that you can attribute to their head.
I guess bad drivers.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe there's a, we should keep working on this because I think we could come up with something. Not tonight.
We'll have to workshop that one.
We'll do some homework. Stuart, this
we'll
is great.
Thank you.
And we'll get to Perfect Strangers next time too, because that is worth a mention.
Yes. Balkian Kozenlari.
Bartakamus from Larry Appleton was his name.
Part of the TGIF lineup. That was big back in the day. Kid my age.
Absolutely. It's my brother's favorite show. The one where they worked out, I remember that. They overdid it and they couldn't move. They both did such great physical comedy. I don't think it was a great show. That episode floored me. I don't know if you remember that one.
It had a lot going for it. It had the physical comedy and it had that theme song, which really still hits to this day. I mean, I'd put it in the top seven.
Sure.
Sometimes the world looks
perfect.
Nothing can be a ring. Good one.
Thanks, buddy. Get back to your kids. Great talking to you.
Will do. Talk to you soon.
All right. That's Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media Zone. I'd like to thank Joel Murray, all your texts and the gross bug talk. That was really fun. Kind of came out of nowhere, Conrad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So tomorrow night on the show, we have Chris Foran and possibly Mike Clemens. Chris Foran and Mike Clemens, let's say. We might have to move Mike Siegel to Thursday night. It might be too much comedy for one night. But we'll see. It's going to be more fun, more pandemonium, more movie and TV talk, and another great question that can get you guys interested and make you part of the show. So much fun tonight. Conrad, thank you.
Of course.
I'm Pete Chihuahua. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, Paula Severson will join us from Dane by Local.
And we'll be broadcasting live from the Short Stack Eatery on State Street.
Talk to you in the morning.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 until 8.
meeting you to celebrate our great state.
It's On the Road with Jane and Todd.
We are going to be broadcasting from places where you can come as we're doing both of our shows, say hi, and I'm so looking forward to having the chance to sit down and talk to folks.
And that's the fun part of it, is just having conversations with real people.
It's Matt and Air on Air and the Todd Alba Show together on the road.
June 11th through the 14th from 10 to 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.